What's up, everybody? I am back. If it sounds like I'm a little out of breath, I was just running around the house playing ball with Penny. It seems when I sit down and get ready to record, she wants to play, and I can't say no to Penny, so I had to play. So please don't mind me catching my breath while I get into the topic at hand. And the topic at hand this time around is nonprofits. Or better yet, nonprofits have money. I think I mentioned this before in a previous episode, and the reason why I'm bringing it back up this time around is because I was approached by another nonprofit that swore they didn't have the big budget that they needed for this campaign they wanted me to shoot. Not only shoot still photos, but also make a video. They wanted me to do still photography and video. I'm fairly new to video, but if you are not and you know a little bit about the game, at least for me, video is way more time consuming than still photography. I mean, still photography, you know, depending on the project, it can take some time. It can be time consuming just the same. I just finished a big project. It took me about 4 days to complete. That's pretty big for me. That's a pretty big project to take 4 days to complete. And that was just photography. That was just photo editing. And it took me 4 days to complete. So anyway, this nonprofit, of course, I'm not going to mention the name. Excuse me. This nonprofit approached me and said, I heard you're a photographer, because somebody I know was talking big about me to them that I do photography for a living. That's my only job. We got to talking about it, and I told them, you know, I've been doing photography for about 16 plus years. And they're like, oh, wow, you're serious about it. I'm like, yeah, this is actually my career. This is what I do full time, my photography. And I told them that I'm learning video. And they're like, oh, great. We would love to put together a campaign with some still photos and some video, and we can hope you can capture it for us. I'm like, absolutely. I'd love to discuss it. When you have time, here's my phone number. Here's my email address. Maybe we can, go back and forth and negotiate what your budget is, what my rate is, and see what we can do for both. And as soon as I said that, she kind of looked away like, well, I was hoping you would do it as a favor. And I'm like, I didn't say this, but in my mind, I'm like, why would I do it as a favor? You know, like, and then I people talk with their face more than they do with their mouths. And I didn't say, why would I do it as a favor? But she could read my face, and my face was like, what? Like, why? Like, why? Why on earth would I ever consider doing that as a favor? I could see if I was an amateur photographer trying to build my portfolio, which, you know, I have a beef with that already. You know, people try to take advantage of amateur photographers and try to get us to work for free, work for credit, which does nothing for us. But still, I could see if I was an amateur that didn't know anything and wanted to build my portfolio, I could understand that that could be an opportunity for me. But I already clearly explained to her, and she already knew. I said, this is my full-time job, my career. This is what I do for a living. Why would you think I have time to give you some free work that I use to pay my bills with? I don't get it. But then again, I do get it. And what that goes back to is something I mentioned in another episode where I was talking about people don't respect graphic artists, artists like myself, photographers, graphic designers, computer techs, CGI people. You know, they don't respect us because it's so readily available. And they don't respect the photography because chances are they've got somebody in their life or themselves may own a camera, and they know even in auto settings on the camera, even in auto mode, you can still take good quality pictures. Or with the advancement of technology and our camera phones, you can take some really good pictures just with our phones. So maybe in her mind, she's thinking, I could take good pictures with my phone. Why would I pay you? But again, like I mentioned before, what she doesn't understand is, yeah, you might be able to take your camera phone and take a beautiful, brilliant group photo. But as soon as you start to zoom in and try to print that group photo from that camera phone image, you will then see how grainy and pixelated it is once you blow it up beyond its reach. once you blow it up beyond its capacity. Not saying that DSLR professional cameras don't have limits, but still, I can print a 30 by 40 poster with ease with one of my cameras, and my cameras are old. My cameras are like 2008 and 2012 models, and they can still print 30 by 40 posters. I mean, I have prints of my own work in my house, 30 by 40 prints. So those are huge, huge prints. So, but anyway, maybe because graphic design and whatnot is so readily available, maybe that's why she doesn't respect the art of my photography and doesn't think that I should charge that much because it's so easy. You just take the picture and it's easy. And then you take some video and it's easy and you just hand it over to us and we'll make a commercial with it and it'll be all fun and it's all cool because we see each other every now and then and we say hi and we're all casual and cool with each other. So I should just come over there and work for you for free, you know? And then she was like, you know, hopefully I could do it either for free or, you know, a decent fair budget. And I do recall looking at her, you know, my face speaks, you know, people talk with their faces more than they do with their mouths. I do recall looking at her and I did say, try not to be sarcastic, but you know, when people push you, you know, that's a hot button issue. You know, you deal with it your whole career. You're a starving artist. You already got to negotiate all the time. And then when people try to take advantage of you, you know, you can get a little snarky. I can get a little sarcastic. I'm definitely sarcastic, especially when people try to play me with my field that I know very well, you know, try to take advantage of me. And I know the fact that your nonprofit has a huge budget, and you're still trying to get me to work for free. But I looked at her and I'm like, well, you know, you're cool here and you enjoy your job. You work here. I'm sure you don't work here for free. No, I don't. Well, why would you want me to take pictures for free? Well, I'm just hoping you could give me a deal. I'm like, we already know this is my job, you know? So, but again, going in a circle, man, people just don't respect it. You don't respect it. You don't think about it. And, you know, I mean, I'm guilty of it too. You know, I mentioned you get your new phone or your tablet or something like that. And as soon as you turn it on, I mean, from the very first day, the very first moment you get it, as soon as you turn it on, there's graphics that show up on the screen. It's not a blank white or black or any other color screen. It's a graphic design screensaver. And there's multiple screensavers already preloaded into your phone or tablet or computer. Does anybody ever think about the artist that created that? No, we don't. Like I said, I'm guilty of it too. And that's my world. Every now and then I think about it, especially now because I talk about it in my podcast. But prior to that, I would look at it. Maybe earlier in my career, I would look at it because I wanted to be that person that could create a graphic that could be used worldwide, because believe me, the artist that did create that is getting paid. But because each individual who owns the phone didn't pay directly for that graphic, maybe it's included in the price of the phone, you know, backdoor. But still, because each individual didn't pay for that specific graphic, we don't think about it. It's just included. It just came with it. You don't think about the inherent cost. So again, with camera phones readily available and DSLRs, the prices, you know, you can still buy a used one at a fairly decent price and still get absolutely brilliant quality. You know, I did a YouTube tutorial video on that showing the difference between an old camera with just say 12 million pixels versus the new cameras today with 36 million pixels. And I zoomed in because my camera has 12 million pixels. I zoomed in on a picture that I took with my camera, 12 million pixels, versus a picture that was taken with the new camera with 36 million pictures and zoomed in really, 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 really close, you could barely tell the difference. And what's more important is when you view art, when you view photos, the standard distance that you're supposed to view is supposed to be 3 feet, because anything closer than that, oftentimes you can see flaws within an image, especially with paintings. I think the standard viewing distance with paintings should be 3 feet. Because if you get any closer, then you get to see the lines in the canvas and the brush strokes. Some people appreciate the brush strokes, but sometimes the brush stroke can alter or damage the quality of the picture that you're supposed to be seeing when viewed from 3 feet. But I digress. Anyway, she, you know, just like many people, myself included, you know, don't often appreciate the work that goes into doing the photography. So when a nonprofit approaches you, first they always throw out that we're a nonprofit, as you're supposed to think that they don't make any money. Nonprofit does not mean they do not make any money. Trust me, they got boatloads of money. I've done work for nonprofits before, multiple nonprofits. Some nonprofits, they're like, whatever your price is, charge it. Matter of fact, run it up even higher, because nonprofits get their money from the government. And the government has a stipulation that if they don't spend whatever money that they got within that particular fiscal year, their budget can be decreased. So they have to spend all that money to show that that money has a place. And if they don't spend it, their budget will get decreased. And if they actually overspend, then they can actually put a bid in for an even higher budget. But don't think because they say nonprofit that they don't have any money. I've had multiple nonprofits pay me whatever I wanted plus some, and I've had nonprofits try to play me and act like they don't have enough money to pay me. But what they did was they wanted to reroute that money to something else that they considered more important, which I understand. But don't take a dump on the artist. You approach me. You need me to do the work. You heard I did good work. You saw my portfolio and you actually love the work that I did. That's not me feeling myself. Those are words you said to me, that you love the work that I did. So again, looking at my portfolio, seeing the professionalism in it, why would you think that I would want to do this for free? I don't get it. And I get insulted about it. That's why I'm getting a little hot about it. It's like, why would you think I want to do it for free? Because everybody can buy a camera and everybody can take a picture, but not everybody can put together a properly, technically proper picture. You know, I'm sure, I'm 100% sure, I bet everything, my whole career, every piece of equipment that I own, that if she was to take the pictures herself, she'll put everybody in the sunlight, take the picture, everybody be squinting, the sun will be beaming down on everybody's face from the top down, which means you're going to have those raccoon eyes and big shadows under your nose, big shadows under your chin. The photo's going to look horrible. But because she doesn't know, she probably thinks that photo looks good until you match it up against a professional photo. Now, with me, maybe she thinks I'm just going to come out there with my camera, snap a couple of shots, and then be done. No, you didn't think about all the lighting equipment I have to bring, all the lighting equipment I have to set up, all the people I have to corral, how to put the picture together. And then with filming, do you really think it's just going to be like, okay, everybody? Well, I'm talking like this. Well, I'm talking about everybody, because it was going to be a big group project. I'm talking 50 plus people. And you want me to orchestrate and organize a shoot with 50 plus people for free and video? Man, and these are not actors. These are just regular people, everyday folks, not actors, not models. They don't know how to pose for a picture or smile. So imagine, imagine trying to take a photo with 50 people and trying to get all 50 people to be looking at the camera. Do you realize how many photos you have to take in Photoshop and try to mesh together to get one proper photo with everybody looking at the camera? Because people always look off to the side to see who's looking at them. Or they might be waiting on the other person to focus and they get tired. So they look up in the sky and they roll their eyes. Or they look down at their watch or their phone. Or they're making sure their hands are not ashy or trying to put themselves in a proper position fixing their clothes and don't realize. And I can't sit there and be like, wait, and then finally shoot. No, so I got to sit there and just shoot multiple photos to catch the first person on the far right that was looking off to the left, and then to catch the person on the far left that was looking off to the right, and then catch the person in the middle that was looking up in the sky, also the person at the bottom looking up at the person on top. All that stuff is so much involved in taking a photo, and then to make sure my lighting is right. You know, on a bright, sunny day, people always want to get into the sun. And then I bring my super bright, powerful lights out there and then they wear white. And then, you know what I mean? I mean, come on now. I mean, I'm not trying to make it seem like what I do is impossible and only I can do it. But when you're looking for a technically sound photo, magazine quality, website quality, that's going to help advertise and generate business for your business, that photo needs to be perfect from head to toe as best as possible. And when you're working with 50 plus people that are not models, not actors, that do not know what to do and might not necessarily follow the instructions exactly how you lay them out, it can be a nightmare. And you want me to handle that nightmare for free? Come on, man. That is such an insult. But I don't think her insult was intentional. It's just that she doesn't know any better. So then what happens is I try to explain to her what is involved, what's needed to make this photo and this video shoot become a success. She listens. She takes notes. She's like, okay, I'll get back to you. Then, of course, she goes online and looks for an amateur photographer that's willing to do the same. And then the amateur photographer will do it because they want to build their portfolio. They want to get the experience. They'll do it way cheaper than what I was going to offer to do it for, or what I was going to bid to do it for. So then they get the photos and they're like, yeah, these photos are okay, but they could have been better. So then here comes the second part of this madness. Then they come to me and say, you know, we couldn't afford you, so we went with another photographer, but his photos didn't turn out as good as yours. And we were wondering how much you charge to retouch the photos. Oftentimes, because the photos could be a nightmare, oftentimes the price that I would charge to retouch the photos is more than what I would have charged to shoot and retouch initially. But people don't think about that. They're just trying to get a deal. Every photo shoot that I do always includes retouching. My prices are retouching is already calculated into those prices. So when I offer you, when I bid on a job, that's a complete job. So you decide not to work with me because you think I'm too expensive. You find an amateur. Amateur doesn't give you what you want. You know, somebody told me a long time ago, good stuff ain't cheap and cheap stuff ain't good. I'll say that again. Good stuff ain't cheap and cheap stuff ain't good. So you went the cheap route and it ain't good. So now you got to come to me and have me retouch the photos that you did not like from the amateur that you thought you got a deal on. And now you're going to pay me more than you paid the amateur. And ultimately, probably just as much as I would have charged you initially for the entire shoot. So, you know, sometimes when you're chasing a deal, you can shoot yourself in the foot. You could shoot yourself in the foot. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a bargain hunter, man. Oh my God. I talked about in episodes about how frugal I am, how I like to penny pinch and make my money go as far as it can possibly go. I do not mess around. I do not want to pay top dollar for nothing. If it's something I desperately need, or rather something I desperately want, but I don't need it, I'll wait because everything's on sale. All the time. Everything. Every time you see a commercial, they're selling you something. Every time you see a billboard or something, they're selling you something. Every episode on a podcast might be selling you something. I'm not, you know, I'm not selling anything right now. I'm just giving up the free game. I'm just putting it out there for people who want to listen and learn. But, you know, for the most part, everything in life is for sale. I might not be selling anything on this podcast, but trust me, I sell my time and my talents, my abilities when it comes to photography, Photoshop, and I'm still working on my video. But again, you know, people don't take into consideration the time it takes to do what I do, what artists like us do. And again, I always say, you know, I'm talking from a photography perspective, but just insert your business into what I'm talking about, and I'm sure it's all relative. I'm sure you've dealt with something similar. You know, clothing designers, sketch artists, artists that just draw. People just think that just comes natural. I mean, yeah, you might have the natural ability, natural talent, but you still have to hone those skills. I often talk about like Steph Curry. Steph Curry is the greatest shooter this game has ever seen. But that dude's always practicing, putting in the hours. I talked about Kobe Bryant. Put in the hours. Just because you have the natural talent doesn't mean it's going to fall into place. You have to hone those skills and keep them tight. Put in the hours. Think about Bruce Lee or somebody like that. Every time you saw him, at least on film, he was always training, practicing, teaching, doing his martial art. Always, always repetitiveness. That's what makes you good. It's the repeat process over and over again. They call it muscle memory. I don't believe in that muscle memory term. You know, you can't do it unless you're talking about eye muscle, you know, hand-eye coordination, muscle memory. Otherwise, you can't do what you do blindfolded. So it's not the muscle memory. It's just you putting in the hours doing what you do. But that's just how I feel. You know, I could be completely wrong. I could be right. Who knows? But anyway, you have to constantly do what you do in order to be great at what you're God-given talent is. So people don't take that in consideration when they're trying to lowball you. They just think you're just going to do it or it just happened. You know, what did somebody say? One of my favorite photographers, I think he said this. Photographer Chase Jarvis, I think he said, or somebody said it, but I think it was him. He said, creativity is not like a faucet. You can't just turn it on. You know, it just doesn't happen. So if that, with that being said, if creativity is not like a faucet and you just can't turn it on at any given moment and just do something real creative, that means you have to constantly continue to practice what you do until something creative hits you. And then because of all the practice that you put in, when it's time to actually create whatever's in your mind, you can do it because you put in the hours to know how to do it and you do it well. That's what we charge for. Nonprofits, if you're listening, stop trying to take advantage of us artists, us freelancers. We're not freelancing means we don't work for a corporation or a business. We work on our own and we can come and go as we please, but it doesn't mean free. Just like nonprofit doesn't mean you're not making a profit. You get money, lots of money. What you do with that money is not for profit. However, the profit that you gain comes from the government. You get your money. You are supplied with money to do things for the community, so on and so forth, whatever your project is. I totally understand it. I've worked for a few nonprofits. I know what the money is used for. And I understand you got to stretch your budget and put it where you feel it needs to be utilized best. But still, if you come to an artist, that means you need that artist. So therefore, you should pay that artist. You know, and stop trying to take advantage and throw out the name and throwing out your name that we're a nonprofit so that we could just say, oh, you're doing stuff for free. So I'm gonna just do stuff for free for you, too. Why does that benefit me? How does that benefit me? I got to put all these hours aside where I could be making money to pay my bills. Let's remember, we artists, we don't just sit around and create all day like some hippies and stuff. We're just sitting around creating and money's just coming out of nowhere. No, this is a job. We have to work. And we have to pay bills like every other person on this planet does. So when you nonprofits are looking out, reaching out to us artists, us freelancers, why would you try to get us to work for free, taking hours away from work that we could be doing to pay our bills? I do a free project for you. It takes me 10 hours. That's 10 hours I'm working on your project where I could have been trying to make some money. That's 10 hours loss of profit that I could have been trying to make to pay my bills. Please take that in consideration. If there's a nonprofit listening, please take that in consideration. I mean, at the end of the day, it's almost like it's not your money, you know, because you're getting money supplied to you so you can utilize it as you see fit. But we should be part of that fit utilization. You know what I mean? Pay for your services. And this is not to all nonprofits. Like I said, I work with a few nonprofits. They're like, look, what's your budget? Okay, well, we're going to pay you this. This is our budget. Let's make everything you do fit into this budget. And it'll be higher than what I actually initially bid for. But then there's always those others. We're a nonprofit. We don't make any money. So come and do this work for us for free. Next, not going to happen ever, ever, unless I choose to do so. But if you approach me looking for some work, that means you desire the work that I do. You like the work that I do. At least give me the option, you know, the consideration, at least present it to me to in a way to where I can decide if I want to do something charitable, you know, because I'm not all about the money. You know, I'm not money hungry. I just got bills to pay. Trust me, I'm not money hungry. I do not care to be a multimillionaire. I mean, I wouldn't decline it if it happened, but I'm not doing this to become a multimillionaire. I'm not money hungry to that sense. I know it sounds counterintuitive and even foolish to say something like that out loud, but trust me, I am not sitting here like, I need to be rich. I need to be rich. I need to be rich. My ideal of rich is different than most. I don't need a boatload of money to be happy. I'll take it, but I'm not searching for it. But anyway, if you're a nonprofit and you approach me, give me the option to consider doing it charitably. Or if I can't afford to do it charitably, take my budget into consideration because I know you got money. Respect the artists for once. You know, we're tired of being starving artists, tired of eating top ramen. I want a steak. Well, anyway, this is Ahmed, A. Roberson Photo, A. Roberson Media. Ahmed, I'm creative on Facebook and Instagram. Next week and the week after, that is December 14th and December 21st, I have two very, very, very important podcast episodes coming on December 14th and December 21st. December 14th and December 21st. Please tune in and tell everybody you know to tune in. It is going to be crucially important. It is going to be such a great episode. And I really do hope you guys tune in and spread the word. Very important episodes coming up once again next week, Tuesday at noon, December 14th. And the week after that at noon, Tuesday, December 21st. Two crucially very, very important episodes that I hope you tune in for. And I'll talk to you guys then. I hope you guys know. Matter of fact, if you can, let everybody know to get ready to tune in next week, because it's going to be very important. It's going to be good for you. I promise it's going to be very good, not just for me, but more importantly for you. So I'll talk to you guys then. I appreciate your support.